Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 111. Hey, everybody. I'm Gabe Jones.
I'm Josiah.
And we are back.
Yeah, we are.
This is a show by the fans.
For the fans.
And we are so glad to be back. We missed you guys. It's been a weird year. But we are back. And we're happy to be back. And it's because of you that we're back.
Also, we have new content.
We do.
We do.
We have Young Oceans on the show today. A great artist. Great band that's been around for a little bit. They've actually been on the show before, so this is a return episode, a sequel, if you will.
If you'd like to listen to the previous episode, you can.
Yes.
Back in the archives.
You can check that out back in the archives, and you can also check them out wherever you listen to music, and as a matter of fact, as you will hear in the interview, they just released a single this past weekend called Light of Your Love.
Also, you do not have to listen to the first episode to understand the second episode. It's not like a...
Yeah, it's not one of those.
Yeah, so...
Thankfully. But yeah, as I alluded to earlier, before we head into the interview, we're back because of you. We had some technical difficulties due to... Well, my computer died.
Yeah.
So it's hard to edit a podcast without a computer. And because of your Patreon support, we were able to upgrade and get another computer.
Thank you very much.
So that right there is proof that we are here because of you. And if you want to join our team and can help us continue on, we would be thrilled to have you. You can support our show at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk, and you can do it for as low as $1 a month.
Every cent counts.
It does, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support that we've gotten. It's literally kept us running. We would not be having a show right now. You wouldn't be able to listen to us right now without our supporters. And you can do it for as low as $1 a month. What do they say? That's as much as one gulp of Starbucks coffee.
Ooh. Or maybe a McChicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Which could also
There's
make
There's not
you...
a whole lot on the dollar menu anymore,
yeah,
unfortunately.
It's like $1.19 now.
Taco Bell used to have a killer dollar menu, and it's pretty much gone.
They got rid of the beefy crunch burrito, and I haven't gone back ever since. Don't want to talk about it.
Anyway, thank you again, guys. It means a lot to us. It really does. I'm not just saying that. It means a lot. Young Oceans. Yeah, they have been a band for a while, and they've been kind of one of those bands that I kind of always go to when it comes to worship music. They're one of my favorite bands to listen to when I'm like wanting some quiet time, you know. And I'm excited to have them on the show again today, and I'm excited to bring to you the show. You know, it's interesting. You know, I was thinking, man, it's kind of weird to like release worship album, you know, because, you know, these albums are created for like people to come together to sing, and it's kind of weird to do in 2020. I mean, you can't really do that. I mean, you can, but it's kind of frowned upon.
Yeah. So
we talked about that in the interview, and I was really interested to get his take on that. But without further ado, here is our interview with Young Oceans.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
So it's been a weird year because I mean that goes without saying, but when I'm always curious the approach of people like you when it comes to making music, especially worship music, that a lot of times when you're writing these songs, you're wanting them to be written specifically in a corporate, you know, church gathering setting. So, so this year that has been a challenge because of everything. What has been your approach? I mean, has that been in the back of your mind as you're creating this, or has that changed your approach at all? I mean, what has that experience been like for you this year?
The new record that we have coming out really soon, you know, it's funny, music and I guess every creative venture just takes so much longer than you kind of want it to or hope it would. We started recording, me and the rest of the players started making this record back in April, which now seems like forever ago. But the songs themselves really were written at this point now over a year ago. Or, you know, they were from last year, back when the world was normal. So, yeah, I mean, no, like these songs that are captured on this record were written for a corporate setting, and in some cases were kind of tried and tested in some church settings, which is great. So I've been focusing on the record this year, and when I'm recording, like, deep in a recording project, I don't write. So I actually haven't had that challenge come up just yet about what it's going to feel like. But it'll be fine, because no corporate music works unless it's true to the individual.
That's so true. Has the experience... I know, so you said writing it hasn't been any different. How about the recording part?
That turned out to be very different, yeah. So we had planned to do much more of like a live, maybe kind of more of a raw recording up in New York, where we usually record. I live in Nashville now, but the rest of the band is in New York, and or kind of is. And we were supposed to go into a studio for a week or two in April, and that obviously got nixed. Because, of course, New York was hit really hard and was locked down very early. So it just was not in the cards. So instead of, and I'm really glad we didn't just say, let's just wait. Because at this point, who knows when, you know, it's going to make sense to even do that kind of stuff anytime soon, to travel around, or at least I don't feel like I'm ready to travel yet. So we ended up making the record in a really weird way. We started with the vocals here in Nashville, me and the other female vocalist, and we laid down our vocals. The songs, of course, were written, and I had the forms in mind exactly how I wanted them, but we laid down just our voices to like a click track and a, you know, a pad, like a keyboard pad for pitch, and sent that to the drummer. And then once he sent me his parts, I compiled that, sent it to the bass player and electric guitar player and cellist. So the whole thing was built in this back and forth style, which was really, really different for us. And it made for a really challenging process, but it also probably, it caused us to make decisions that we definitely wouldn't have made if we were all sitting together in a room. So it was cool. It definitely made for a unique record.
How has it been to be in Nashville throughout this, when you have so many artists that are depending on, you know, people being together, kind of not even necessarily in a church setting, but still people being together?
Yeah.
How has that experience been for you?
Yeah, at first I think everyone was feeling pretty alone, you know, like just like everybody in the world. There was, for the first 6 weeks, it was pretty isolating. And then, you know, I can just speak to just my, you know, little group of friends and people that I tend to collaborate with here. You kind of just got to use your judgment and sort of venture out a little bit. But the folks that I eventually did start getting in a room with and doing some live stuff or some church podcast or just some live taping stuff that we've done for Young Oceans, we just have to trust one another that we've been careful, you know, and that we're healthy. But it takes risk to step outside your door, you know, no matter what you're doing, especially if you're singing into a room and spitting all over the place, you know.
Sure. You talked a little bit about just kind of the feeling of isolation and feeling alone. And I know that a lot of people have experienced that. And I think that's why your first single, You Are Not Far, was kind of the perfect way to start, kind of introduce this album. Was that originally your idea for this to be the first single? Or was this just, hey, this is perfect for this time? What was the thinking about releasing that song first, and what does that song mean to you?
Well, thanks for bringing that up, man. I'm glad you listened to it. And yeah, that is the first track on the album. And I love the idea of like an album being a concept and being an arc and a story. And so it really is kind of the invocation to the rest of the album. And I mean, when you pick a single, when you pick the first single, you know, to lead with, it's really a tough decision, but you just kind of got to like go with your gut and not overthink it. And I had played it for a handful of friends and people that knew the project and even my family. And that was one that people were like, it kind of perked people up, and the response was similar. It was like, oh, that's different, or that's immediate, or that gets me right away. And I love the fact that it's really only, it's just a little over 2 minutes long, which is usually not how we do it. We usually play music for way too long. So it's just this short little blip. And yeah, I know that I need to be reminded of that simple and profound idea every day, that God is not far from us, you know. But that is our life's work, to continue daily to turn and remember what he said.
So when you were going through those first few weeks, did you find yourself, like, I know a lot of people when they write music that it ends up becoming like a therapeutic experience for them, because they're writing kind of what's on their heart at the time. But since you wrote this before all this started, was this able to minister to you in a way that maybe any of your music hadn't before?
Yeah, that's a cool question. Honestly, man, like, the songwriting for me is a real devotional practice anyway. And I've spent years trying to write songs, and, you know, not just worship music, but before I was doing this, I was trying to write rock music or pop or whatever you want to call it, just playing in bands and trying to write true music, you know. But specifically writing scripture-based worship music is really a work of devotion, and it really requires a lot of discipline for me. I've learned that I can't just sort of like go to bed late and, you know, hop into my workspace and just expect something to pop into my head. I have to like really like discipline my body and my rhythm and my week when I'm in that process, because my prayer is always, when I'm writing, my prayer is always, Lord, what would you have us sing? And I know that seems kind of weird, but I really think that, like, no matter if you're leading a community of 12 people, you know, in your home, or even just leading your family, you know, in a song, like, it's a sacred idea to put words into people's mouths. So I take it really seriously. And what I often find is only after the fact, sometimes after it's been recorded, sometimes after I really hear like someone else sing the song, I tend to have this kind of like wake up moment where the full weight of that idea hits me. And that's a really cool experience, because it makes me realize that maybe my prayer was answered. Maybe this is actually kind of a gift that I was able to receive, and I get to experience it on the back end, you know, because Because I think if God gives someone a song, that person can't claim it as their own, you know, so to speak. So yeah, there's a lot of surprises after the fact for me. I find that the group of songs that I've been kind of working on and marinating in tends to be my mantra for that season, you know. So I'm really grateful for these new songs, and I'm really excited for people to dive into them as well.
You said that this album has you like the idea of an album fitting together and being a concept. What are some fundamental themes and concept that you hope this album kind of brings through?
The biggest difference between this album and really like the last full length we did was called Suddenly. That was very much a concept record in my mind. I don't know how much it communicated once people heard it, but like in my mind it was. In fact, I had the order for that record before we even went and recorded it, which was kind of a different way to approach it. And that was a very liturgical idea. It was really sort of grabbing onto ancient sort of church worship ideas and, you know, making those kind of prayers in my own way. Now, this one is very different in that it's really just a collection of super simple, almost like childlike prayers of intimacy. These are the simplest and most terse lyrics that I've ever written, which is really scary and vulnerable, but it feels really right for the moment. I would say maybe the theme throughout is intimacy on this one, which is pretty different from what we've done in the past.
And that's an interesting concept when you think about what people are going through and probably craving right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great message. Another track that I got to listen to that's coming out later this year is called Heaven All Around. And for me, it's a song, when I listen to it, it's a song about hope. And there's a lot of people right now that are, they probably don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe they've been having to stay home. You know, maybe they lost their jobs. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on.
Yep.
What do you hope that this song, which is kind of it's kind of the title track of the album, What do you hope that this song brings forth, and how was it writing this song?
The song Heaven All Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool one to write. It's taken straight from John's vision of you know, New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and when you create poetry around those revelation kind of ideas, or the finality ideas, it can be a little daunting, I have to admit. But what we have to, what I try to remember is like this, especially, you know, we all know hymns and modern songs that take imagery from the Book of Revelation, for instance. And even though we've been told a million times not to do this, it can be really tempting to be super, super literal with some of that imagery. Whereas we know that John, you know, on the island of Patmos, he's in the spirit, is what it says. He's like in some kind of spirit dream state that's more real maybe than this reality. But still, he's doing his best with those descriptions to kind of describe what his mind's eye is seeing, and you know, it's tough. So I definitely approach a song like Heaven All Around with a lot of care. But essentially, it's just Jesus. What happens when the presence of Jesus, whether in this current in-between state now, today, in 2020, or at some point tomorrow or a million years from now, when he comes back in full glory, we have access, even in the in-between, to sort of taste that, right? To taste the the very presence of Jesus. He said, I will be with you to the end of the age, you know. And certainly when he comes to the end of the age, he will be with us, and there will be no denying it, and there will be no denying it from anyone's standpoint, believer or not. And that's kind of what that passage is about. But it really, it's this idea of like pulling the future into now, right? And saying, if we can believe that Jesus is present as he says he is, we have absolutely nothing to fear in the next moment or the next day or the next era. So it's a dreamy idea. And a lot of people scoff at dreamy ideas, but I think it's the very best thing about the gospel is that it is indeed good news.
That's awesome. You know, I think that song is going to give people a lot of hope to look for that future.
Thanks, man.
And I really appreciated that. There's another song. Let me make sure I got it right. Believe it's called Light of Your Love, is that right?
Sure, yeah.
And that song, you know, it's another kind of, you know, it talks about kind of the beginnings, if you will. When we talk about heaven all around, that's kind of our future, and this song is kind of about the beginnings, and it talks about even just from the beginning, you know, we're not alone. And I think that it's also important to look back on that as well as looking ahead. What was it like writing that song?
Man, well, thanks so much for this great insight. I'm so glad that you listened to the tunes, first of all. So yeah, that song is actually coming out this Friday, which I'm super excited about. Light of Your Love was written for a community that I kind of help out with a lot in New York, a church community up there, and we had been encouraged by the music director to essentially show instead of tell with our lyrics. Right? To just say it without any veneer, without any hiding. And so I think, how does that song start? In light of your love, my heart is your home, never abandoned, never alone. So right out of the gates, it's a child, it's us speaking to their creator, and it's our spirit communing with the spirit of God, which is to say, reminding ourselves who we are, that we are children, you know. And I have three kids. Like, when you watch a child in a healthy environment, you know, in when they're fed and clothed and taken care of, they literally, there's nothing in the world that is bothersome to them or fearful to them. And that is our inheritance, you know, even as adults. And so I think it's a phrase that I read, Light of Your Presence, of course, is all over the Psalms, Psalm 90, you know, Light of Your Presence. But the phrase Light of Your Love, I think, was I found in a Jesus Calling devotional. I don't know if you know that. I can't remember her name right now, Sarah something, who's amazing. But it's just another way of phrasing, like, this idea of the kind of heavenly gaze of the Father upon us. And it's all over the Psalms that if we would sort of expose ourselves and lift our eyes to him, you know, allow the light to kind of come over us and warm us, everything's changed in an instant. So, yeah, man, I'm excited for that one. I think that's a really singable song for communities as well. I hope it'll be something that maybe people will find useful for their repertoire.
I kind of hate to ask about the future after this album, but it intrigued me when you said that you kind of thought about recording this album originally live. Do you have any plans on maybe eventually doing that?
Yeah, in some sense, like we did a series, really, really simple and scrappy series of recordings. We picked six off of this record, You might have seen we did it. We put out the You Are Not Far like acoustic live version. It's just a really like press record. Let's go. Don't try to make it fancy. Literally one camera in the room, which was really fun. We did that for six of the tunes. So we've tackled that in some sense, except they're still really new. And we're also like a new record. Like you have to kind of learn how to play the songs, and without being able to tour, it's hard to really like learn them. But one thing that we've talked about a lot, is, doing something called Voices Volume 2. Several years ago, we put out something called Voices Volume 1, which
And that was great.
Thanks, man. And that was, if people don't know, it was a collection of songs from the full lengths or the records that we had done to that point, but recorded in a different way, more of an accessible kind of production, and sung by a bunch of other singers. Not me, which was really great. And it was just, that's why it's called Voices. It's just a bunch of different features of some amazing other singers and worship leaders in the U.S. So I hope to do that again, and this time have a whole new cast, maybe some similar voices, but maybe a whole new cast of voices that we've not worked with. And my desire for that would be to do a much more intimate and stripped down record. Where it's not trying to be huge, but where it's really, really kind of small and intimate. So hopefully a Voices Volume 2 sometime in 2021. You are not so far from me. You are not far when I open up my eyes to see. Drawing every breath, compelling every heart to beat. You are not far, Lord, you are not so far. That was our interview with Young Oceans. I'd really like to thank Eric for coming on the show and talking with us during this really bizarre time in our history. And again, you can check out their latest single. It just came out this past weekend. It's called You Are Not Far. It's a really, really great song. And you're going to want to keep on checking them out because they are going to be releasing some singles in the coming months. That is going to lead to their new album that comes out in January. And that album is called You Are Fullness. So, you know, just because the Christmas season is coming, you know, a lot of times people stop releasing music around Christmas season unless it's Christmas music. That's not the case with Young Oceans. They're going to be releasing some new stuff throughout the holiday season, so be checking that out. And if you're like, I don't really like worship music, I feel you. Like, I'm not someone that usually, I'm not like, okay, I'm going to listen to worship music. Young Oceans for me is a little bit different. I've just always felt connected with them. So I challenge you to check that out and give them a listen. Give them a chance.
A lot of you may have never heard of Young Oceans, but then if you were to name a couple songs, you say, oh yeah, I know that song. We sing that at church on Sunday. Yeah. So they do have some pretty well-known songs that you might not even realize that you know.
And I'm excited that we talked a little bit about in the interview about his wanting to do a second volume of Voices. Volume Voices 1 that released in 2016 for them was one of my favorites. He enlisted some artists such as Leland and All Sons and Daughters and Elio Holcomb and Mike Donahay, and pretty much they covered his songs. And they put it on an album, and they made it more corporate-friendly, I guess would be the term, easier for the band to play, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking into doing that again in the future, so check that out when that happens. I'm excited.
What else are you excited about?
I am excited about the future, and it's hard to believe But we're like 2 months away from our annual year-end show.
It is indeed.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm starting to compile a list. I have like 35 albums that I wrote down.
Wow.
In the last week.
I have undoubtedly, I've got my eyes on one song for Song of the Year. And then there's...
You've only listened to one song?
No, there's just song that has risen above the rest.
Okay.
As Song of the Year. And then I'll need to start compiling a list of albums.
I am excited. I've given you at least one suggestion time and time again.
Yes, I listened to it just this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to break your heart, but it might not make my list for best albums of the year.
Well, I guess there's the right way and the wrong way to go about things. Anyway, I'm excited about that. That's coming in about 2 months, probably middle of December, so you can be looking for that. And hey, give us some suggestions. We're always interested in, hey, check this album out. Make sure it's not bad. I mean,
if you give us a bad suggestion, we'll just never listen to you again.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't wait. It's in 2 months. It's one of our favorite episodes of the year, and it'll be here before we know it. How about that? It's hard to believe 2020 is almost over, and most people would be happy about that.
I can't believe it's been almost a year since both The Devil Wears Prada and Norma Jean released an album.
Yeah.
And Norma Jean's album is probably my most listened to album this year. From last
year.
Yeah,
it's weird when those late releases end up becoming like the next year's favorite album.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite album of this year so far.
Yeah, it's always like after Halloween, anything that comes out, it's hard to gauge, or even like after Labor Day sometimes. So that is the end of the show. We would like to thank all our supporters on Patreon. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Once again, you can be a sponsor, and I forgot to say that our bonus episode, which you can get through Patreon.
Oh yeah,
we're going to be talking about an album that just turned 20 years old.
That's incredible.
It's called Loud and Clear, and it's by the OC Supertones.
If you do not know about the OC Supertones, why?
I can't believe it's 20 years old. That's crazy.
Ska music.
Ska music, it's still here in various ways. Five Iron Frenzy is around, I guess.
Unfortunately for everybody.
Anyway, you can check us out on Patreon where you can get exclusive bonus shows. We are also on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. And we're now on a new platform called Amazon Music.
Interesting.
I think it's called Amazon Music.
I don't know.
Anyway,
it's hard for me to keep up.
It was Google Play, and now it's Amazon. I don't know. Somebody bought somebody out, and so now we're on Amazon, and we might be getting on like Audible soon in the future. The audiobook.
Yeah, I didn't know if we had to read or something.
I don't know how that... No, they read to you. You don't have to do anything.
Well, yeah.
It'll be the same show. It's just... Anyway, we're also on YouTube. We're on Facebook, Decent Christian Talk, and the Decent Christian Talk podcast discussion page. We've loved hearing from you and staying connected with you the last month or so while we've been off. We're also on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2, and Instagram, DC Talk Podcast. And of course, you can check us out at decentchristiantalk.com. We're still there. The internet is still there. But hey guys, we'll check you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.